Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 137, episode 1 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, and fuck Buck Sexton. It's Monday, June 8th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Love, love my poo. You ate and liked my poo. Now racism's through. Because you ate my shit. That is courtesy of The Help, the movie that I watched on Netflix.
And now you see The Matrix, huh?
Now I see The Matrix. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles Gray, a.k.a. where are these other ice cream companies at? Because I see Ben and Jerry's saying it with their chest. We must dismantle white supremacy. Shout out to Ben and Jerry. You know, even though you're in a kind of a weird state in Vermont. But you're doing, looks like you're doing the Lord's work by saying the hard bit, by saying white supremacy, not just we stand with black communities. You say, no, we're actively taking a role in dismantling white supremacy. Thank you for saying that, because that's the kind of talk that needs to be more common right now.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmoor. He is the hilarious, the talented, the it's been too long, iffy, waddy way.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move the lips. Just a bunch of gibberish. Motherfuckers act like they forgot about Ife. How y'all doing?
We back. Like they forgot
see
about
y'all on the Reddit. Making the Mount Rushmore memes. If you don't put my face on it, you ain't a real fan.
That's true.
Shout out to the Zeit Gang that stops by the Twitch. Shout out to Timeless Coffee from the Zeit Gang who dropped some coffee for your boy. It's time.
Wow.
Yeah. They hooked it up with the coffee, Zeit Gang, and they always say something cool. Like they leave a cool note. Usually something.
What's Timeless Coffee?
It's in
Is
Oakland.
That local?
Yeah, oh, they first hit me up when we last had our conversation about coffee, and I said I was gonna get the the grinder and all that stuff. And I've, since then, I've fully upgraded. Miles and Jack know because I straight up tried to do a pour over literally as soon as we started recording. I was like, oh yeah, this is a 5-minute process. I'm sorry.
It was a flex. It was a flex. He was like, okay, now that I have you both here, yeah. I'm going to go do a very slow,
the slowest way to make coffee.
Hey, do you have that kettle?
Oh yeah, I got the gooseneck.
For the hot water. Gooseneck. What's that called?
A gooseneck kettle.
A gooseneck kettle, yeah. Because I just have like a big awkward one, and whenever I watch like precision barista videos, I'm like,
yeah, the gooseneck, you need it for them swirls because you want to work your way inward, outward. And also, I got the scale too, so it's like I'm cooking. Yay, you know, I put the scale, put the Chemex. I got the Chemex, put the Chemex on the scale.
I got the Chemex,
and then you know, going that order.
Wow. You don't even need to tear because you know how much the Chemex weigh. Oh, you just quick just math. Straight, bro.
Well, like, I got this dope one that if you have it already, whatever you have on the scale when you turn it on, it automatically tears it. So like I just pop the Chemex on, start it, and it's at zero. And then I use the Intelligentsia app where it does the ratio for me because I don't want to do all that. And it has the timer within the app.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I need something like this to fully get my mind off of current events.
Oh yeah.
I feel like I could go into a I have so many scales for other things I was interested in. But I just need that gooseneck. I got the Chemex. Maybe I'll go to hand grinding.
Ooh,
I want to, from all Zeitgang, there was a huge debate about it. And for a lot of people, were like, it's really the process aspect that makes it more satisfying, not that like objectively or not, nah, whatever. Coffee Zeitgang come from.
Oh,
me,
yeah. Well, they got on
grinder, get that gooseneck.
The other theory is that it actually is better because electronic grinders like burn the things they're moving so fast. Mm. So they like it's like they cauterize the cut in the coffee, whereas the hand ground, like you get the oils without having the cauterization.
Yeah, so, yeah. This type of combo is what made me leave the blade grinder behind, and now I have a burr grinder. So now I got it's cut right, and it has an adjuster for the type of grind that I want. So sometimes I'll mix it up, do a French press. Sometimes I'll mix it up, pour over, and now I have some espresso beans, and so I'm gonna do the super espresso. And I have the percolator, the French joint, the little metal one. It's called something else, but you know which one I'm talking about. The Italian one, I mean, not the French one.
So you got that. You got that burr grinder.
So okay. I'm unstoppable.
What is a burr? Is a burr grinder like? Does it
uses flat blades, so you get a more even grind because the blades, it's random, and so you won't get. And you can really do. You really can tell the difference almost immediately because when I use the blade grinder, you'll see some like bean chunks, but with the burr grinder, they're all just ground. Like there's no leftover. You know, it's definitely the difference between using a grinder and your friend picking out nugs. And every time I'm like, I got a grinder, man. I'm trying to get the most of this. Trust me, bro. You're wasting money.
Yeah, you got all those crystals on your fingertips too. Now that's not in the blunt.
Oh,
can you just rub those into your gums?
Like I try. After I'm done,
do
just
whatever you want, man. Gums. Boof it and try anything, man.
Yeah.
Boof.
It's a new day.
All right. If you were going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, first, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the Antifa panic that is sweeping the nation, just the overall white supremacy of the way this is all being covered, the way that violence, when it's done by the right and white supremacists, just isn't seen as big a story as it is when it's done by anybody else. We're going to talk about The Help, which I watched because I was confused as fuck about why that was. It was number 6 when I looked on the Netflix top 10. Apparently, it was number 1 for a bunch of the week. It was the number 1 piece of content on Netflix. And I was like, I remember that movie sucking terribly, like being a terrible movie. How did that happen? So I have some theories on that. Miles, you watched Space Force or started watching Space Force?
First 2 episodes in the middle of episode 3 now. Yep.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about, you know, just some proactive things that people can do. All of that, plenty more. But first, Iffy, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
This is going to be the wildest search history answer that I've ever had on the show. Just off rip, I'm going to let you know. I'm glad everyone's sitting down because this is the wildest shit that I've saw in my life. And I had to search and see what this was all about. Until this day, it's an open case. If anyone has any more information, let me know. But there's a woman on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram who goes by I Am Dung 6. And then I had to look up her website, iamdung.com. And she, just to put it frankly, rubs shit all over her face and body. And says that it's gives her a closer connection to God because it removes her ego. And I was so sure this had to be a bit, and then I wasn't actually looking at a human covered in shit. And it turns out there's no evidence, no wink, no links to any other site. So I think I don't know. I don't know if my
this is wild.
Miles is looking at it.
I am dung.com. I cannot believe, yo.
No, I have to.
She's got the
face mask on.
I don't know what it's about. you know, if anyone is listening, sees this and recognizes that person, please check in with them. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, this her readme, it says like, I am dutifully sworn pessimistic when I consume dung. It serves as a reminder how I love to demonstrate my affection, respect, and faithfulness to God and not what is expected from my audiences. What you do is your business and your freedom. I shall take into consideration I will not be held liable or accountable for your actions. I don't know I think this is just...
The whole way I found her is my friend posted an excerpt of her TikTok where she was like, I'm so excited. I just got from Buffalo Wild Wings and I got the mango habanero and I'm so excited to see if you can taste the spiciness in feces. And I was like, oh, this has to be a bit. But then she had the website watermarked and then I went and I was like, no, I was like the Maxwell dude.
Right.
Wow. Not too long ago, I received a concerned welfare notice phone call courtesy by my college counselor.
Oh my God.
Is the first sentence on her blog.
This is where like you're starting to see somebody struggling and we have such easy access to like put content.
That's what I was thinking.
Because like it starts getting really disconcerting. Like she has a thing about the laws of the 12 commandments and it's like all on some like I know more than God.
Yeah, exactly. That's when I was like, oh, where is this? So yeah, if I
and this is blowing up on TikTok and stuff.
It must be because I did see an article about people doing it for Blackout Tuesday, and I didn't even bother seeing what the Blackout Tuesday post was. That the headline was enough for me. I was like, goodness gracious.
Oh boy.
So yeah, that's my search history.
This raised a question in my mind. Two Girls, One Cup was a phenomenon years and years ago. What? But that
I just
was...
love that sentence. Two Girls, One Cup was a phenomenon.
People were...
I love that read of it, for sure.
What? That was fake, right?
No, that was real. It was just scat porn. And that's why, that's what made it hit so hard is because... It starts off where you think it's going to be regular porn. So, you know, you getting ready, you start leaning back in your chair and they're like, psych.
Right.
They're eating poop. It was real.
Yeah.
But that was real poop?
I believe.
That's what they say. I mean, because it was like
yes, because you see
scat company.
You see, unless
they have new technology. Because look, if I could use words, but I remember seeing the video. I'm like, ain't no way you can
make
that
exactly.
Shit, literally.
You see the production. You see the production.
Yeah. This is a thing. I mean, this makes sense to me. I've been talking about all these different ways that our culture is lining up with Germany right before the rise of Hitler. And, you know, scat is a huge thing in Germany.
Oh, yeah.
So, and Hitler was obsessed with scat. So
he was?
Yeah. Real into it. And his biggest, like the thing that he was most concerned about was his flatulence. That he was very, very strange things that you find out when you scratch the surface there.
Rather not hear about Hitler's, you know, habits of entertainment that he likes to consume.
Yeah. If you would, is something you think is underrated?
Oh man, underrated. There's I got to come through and give life to the underrated. I've been fine. I think there's so many. The reason I say this is because I've been buying so many appliances during this quarantine, and I got to say, it's been hyped up. So some people were going to be like, "Are you sure?" And I'm like, "Yeah." I don't think people know it goes as hard as it does. Air fryers. I just got the air fryer attachment for my Instant Pot, and that thing goes. I wish someone really, really drove home how much of a staple that would become in my home. I got a little 4-year-old. She likes to snack up on stuff. I made air fried some crinkle cut fries. We're in the game. We're in the game.
Who was on recently? Another person was preaching the air fryer gospel, but they had just gotten it, so they weren't like able to fully sell me on it.
Oh, they just got it, but they weren't chefing like me. I said they just got it, but they weren't chefing like me.
Oh, maybe was it Zig?
That sounds like
I know I've heard him talk air fryers before.
Wait, so what is the when? What was the thing you made the first time, and you said, "Oh, okay, this
I made Korean fried chicken." And so, and I was like, I was so, so confused if it will work, because if you don't know, with Korean fried chicken, instead of using like a batter, you use cornstarch on it. That's how you get that crispiness. And I was like, without oil, I don't see how this is really going to pop off. But not only did it crisp up, not only when I made that sauce, that is, by the way, one of the hardest difficult sauces because there's so much sugar and corn syrup in it. It's ready for 30 seconds, and then after that it's burnt. So you gotta have the chicken ready to go. Right, and window, I thought I was gonna be smart and like while it was frying, have it ready to go. That thing was
okay.
No, you gotta you make the fried portion, and then you make the sauce, toss it in there and toss. And when I say that thing was hidden, I was like, oh, Kyo-chan who? it's me. So I made that. I made the crinkle cut fries in that joint. I definitely fried up some more chicken. I'm running it through all of it, and it's so solid. It just gives you that perfect crisp with to go off the box without the oil, but you get that nice crispiness that you're looking for, and you don't have to use any oil. You just throw it in there, mix it up, season it. Well,
I don't understand, like, physically, like, the physics of how.
Me either. I as I use it, I'm still trying, because you just hear air. All you hear is air. It sounds like a vacuum is on, but you open that shit up, and the shit is crispy. So, science.
Okay, so if we're going to get into it, air fryers use a circulation of hot air to cook food that would otherwise be submerged in oil. The air fryer's cooking chamber radiates heat from a heating element near the food, thus cooking it more efficiently. A fan is generally used to circulate hot air. So it's just a hot air tornado.
Oh, okay.
What is something you think is overrated?
I think what's overrated right now is brands coming out in support. I feel like run that check. You a whole ass business. I don't need a tweet. I need a donation receipt. Give me receipts.
Show
not
your
tweaks.
Work. Show your work, as we
yeah,
say.
Yeah, yeah. Because we're getting a lot of stuff. I think we were talking about this. Grand Theft Auto is going offline for 2 hours, and that stuff I like because it's like it's a disruption of someone's day and forcing them. So that one you can get away with, but also Rockstar, run that money. You're getting almost $1 million a day from these kids running their parents' cars.
Think about how much of the culture is infused in those games.
I know.
Especially Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. Like, my God. Oh, yeah. Come on now.
So that's what it is. It's like, it is nice. I'm not going to lie. It is nice seeing, I think, especially me who does so much stuff in the game community. It is nice kind of seeing, people come together and be like, this is wrong. But really, there are people who need monetary support right now. And I've been donating like crazy. Yeah. I've been seeing a lot of people donating like crazy. Twitch is doing what Twitch does best. So many people are doing charity streams and making good money for these causes, which is dope. Dr. Disrespect is, going to be donating all his earnings this month to charities. And it's been cool. Like with me, it's like if you have a platform and you are a quote unquote influencer, yeah, you can do the lip service, I think, goes further. But when you're a target, a major corporation that accepts money, money is going to do more for me than seeing you do a blank blackout tweet or a black on black text about how you stand right. with black people, especially when lots of these companies are now getting dragged by employees retweeting, be like, oh, word.
here are all my complaints somehow made into that special file.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's also because as people, we're all trying to do what we can, right? Like, you have a platform, you're trying to do what you can on your platform. Yeah. We have this show, we're trying to do what we can on this show rather than like completely burying our heads in the sand. Because our morals as people wouldn't allow that to happen.
Yeah.
Especially being black too. Like, this just, that was never going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think what we want is to see everybody do like as much as they can from what their position is. So if you're a company, guess what? Like, you siphon money out of the consumer's pockets and a lot of black dollars are spent at your business.
Yeah.
You can, but let's see something that seems requisite, because if I'm taking the time to make every day trying to be honest about the news and have opinions that people can like, that will resonate with people, then Target needs to do their version, which I would be like, what's to say you can't give up a 30% of your profits?
Yeah. Right. We'll do nothing. Also, because it's been proven, see Nike, that when you do things like that, the community supports you even more because they want that money that they're spending to go towards that. So really, that's why it's so weird to me, where it's like, look, even if you wanted to be this like sociopathic weirdo, you can do it just for the money that you're going to make. You know, that's why I think people don't realize how easy it is. It's a good press. You get people going in your stores. So at least do it for that, you know?
Well, because I think companies and entities are so used to cynically operating like that, of just being like, all right, box checked, did the black tile. But yeah, like it can go a lot further, and like you can communicate what those things are through like the action. And I think that's seen by saying like, where people aren't asking for you to stand with them in a post.
Yeah.
We're asking you to actually demonstrate that you understand what all of this is that we're calling out systemic racism. And so now everybody, if this campaign is working, take the moment to understand how that's operating in your world, and then actively show us steps that you're saying like, oh, okay, I get what you're saying. Okay, I know how to do this. I can confront a coworker. I can lovingly speak to a parent and say, just so you know, a lot of the things you told me as a kid, it took a long time for me to actually realize a lot of those things are wrong. And it took me a while to even come past this. Those are the kinds of things that I think we want to see. And so for a company that has billions of dollars, at least millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like their reasoning, they probably wouldn't say this out loud, but their reasoning is, you know, the shareholders, like that money is like tied up to, you hear a lot of the corporate people blame Wall Street, and like the expectations of Wall Street, but that is like that, there's a reckoning coming there too, because the way that Wall Street just kept flying during the pandemic when everybody was losing their jobs. Jim Cramer, the Mad Money guy, that's as financially sophisticated as I get.
Yeah.
But he made the point. He said at the end of last week that the pandemic was one of the greatest wealth transfers in the history of our country.
Yeah.
And it's still the rich getting richer, and the corporations and Wall Street insulating themselves so that they can't lose because they're writing their own rule books. And that shit there's something coming.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's white supremacy and capitalism, because the white supremacy, there's ways to figure that out. And then when you think about like, well, whenever people are like, well, we don't have the money to do that. Or we don't have the money to do that. That's because we have to continue to say, well, why not?
Yeah.
Oh, well, because we're beholden to shareholders who expect that. And look, the way these companies are traded, like, we have to show a certain amount of financial health for people to want to buy our stock. What the fuck does that mean? I'm pretty sure I'm looking at your ledgers and you have like hundreds of millions of dollars just sitting there.
Yeah,
but that's, then we have to keep going.
Well, then we'd have then to fix lay that. People off, you know.
Then you take less. But I think that's the next step, is like, we're learning, people are learning how to articulate how to stand up against police brutality and seeing like, oh, right, now that like white people see like people that look like their aunts, uncles, grandparents, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, cousins get brutalized by police, that piece is starting to come together too and be like, oh my, what the fuck is this? But then that financial question is the next part too, because a lot of the reasons why people don't have money is because other people do. And then we have to address the inequities in that system too. Like, it's a big, we got a fucking mountain to climb, baby.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Get your fucking stretch up, get your hands chalked, and get those carabiners ready, because fucking we got to keep, like, we have to go to the fucking top of this thing to bring it down.
Yeah. Yep. One step at a time, one day at a time. Iffy, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know, to be false?
I think Miles is kind of hidden on that. I mean, there's this, you know, there's this kind of, everyone's like, you know, police brutality is bad, this, that, and that. But when we hear defund the police, everyone starts to slow up. Where it's like, well, we need the police. Mm. And really, we don't. I think there's a really good infographic going around showing the history of the police, showing this. And I was just talking about this with someone earlier today. When we just like, when you think about car chases, like with all the technology and all the tracking that we have, the systems we have in place, you know, do we really need 5-10 police cars going at dangerous speeds through civilian roads to chase down one car when we have a helicopter that already costs so much to fly anyway, that's mm-hmm. up with them, that can just follow and then have this person? Because cars need gas. The cars don't run forever. So if you, it would just take you to actually sit down. And I think a lot of the problems is it's almost this brute force tactic when it comes to policing. And that's the problem at its core for mm-hmm. me. There's never any planning. There's like, it's never like, okay, what's the best, most efficient way to go about this, the safest way? It's always like, okay, let's grab guns,
they're a gang,
armor up, and let's run in there and just do whatever we want. And you,
beat the shit
you
out of
like, it's so interesting because a lot of people have been asking like, oh, you know, the funny thing is like all these white families that are like, this is so hard to talk about with my kids, and people asking me about what I'm telling Naomi about this. And I was like, well, to be honest, Naomi, I'm letting her be just in her world of Sesame Street and ABC Mouse. The reason being is because my kid's black. This is a wall she's going to walk into eventually. So if I can let her just mm-hmm. have this like free few years of not knowing and experience what racism is, and then have that conversation when she inevitably comes to school and be like, hey, some kid called me nigger, or someone's being weird mm-hmm. to me, I'll be like, oh, okay, well, it's time to have this conversation. Because it really is like, it's something we deal with. And we're seeing live how cops operate, something that I'm sure me and Miles have known for a long time. One of my first lessons in this was when I was in Compton. This cop was chasing these dudes in my apartment complex, and he runs by and they run after him, and he ends up running down this nearby. It's like a, you know how some houses have property and then they're all the way, they're deeper into the space, but there's no through line. Like, he ran down it and it was kind of closed off, and we just hear like a bunch of gunshots. They shot their own canine. They shot the canine, and it was wild to see what happened with our own eyes and then see what was reported. And what happened was they caught him down there and just started firing on him, killed him. And then they said that he shot the police dog, and that's why they shot him. He had no gun on him. We saw, right. And what made it worse was the family that lived in that inlet area, they were gone, but they like let us come in their house, and they shot so much that there was bullets riddled all over their living room. And they said luckily they were at church, because if they were at home, if they were watching TV, they would have just been shot up.
And that's the same story, man. You know what I mean? Like, it happens so much, and the police are able to, like, you know, obfuscate and try and just describe them murdering someone as like, man, then he shot the dog, and like, we had no choice. And that's because the people that hold them to account are their own.
Yeah.
Who are like, all right, so what happened here? So like, what are we gonna say here? So he probably shot the dog. All right, here.
Yeah.
It really is. Slip and fall. And that's why like these reforms are so important. So like when people are like, let's ban chokeholds, I'm like, hold the fuck up, man.
Yeah.
That should have happened decades ago. We're past that. And again, the police have completely ceded their right to say that they're an entity worth funding in any meaningful way. Like, again, we have to, like you're saying, if the police, especially for black men, you'll never have I've never seen a cop say, sir, can I help you?
Not at all. And if it was just a sneaky way to just see where I'm going, where I'm coming
from. Right, where you're going. Yeah. Oh, you lost? Yeah. I'm like, okay, don't fucking concern troll me, dick. I know what the fuck. I know where this is going. Yeah. But like, I think it's all about being able to shift how we look at things, right? There's for example, the police, right? Siobhan Thomas, who is a writer, tweeted out, she writes on Rick and Morty, she said, for my friends and followers arguing for reforms of the police instead of major defunding, ask yourself this, have the police ever actually helped you or anyone you know? Or is your idea of the police predominantly been formed by movies and television? Yeah. Because, yes, there are people who've committed crimes. Unfortunately, I've had issues in past relationships where, someone I was dating needed actual, law enforcement help, and it just never came.
Yeah.
Just didn't
happen.
And
let's just talk about the fact that, you know, they want to pretend that, you know, we use something someone brought up that was good, is we often use unarmed black men, unarmed. But who cares if they were armed? How many times are we looking at these videos of armed white men who have murdered, who have hurt people, mm-hmm. who are somehow still able to be brought in without being shot? How many times? Many times. Yet we have to point out that the black people who are being slain are unarmed, as if that makes a difference. Because it's true that they have it. There's just zero compassion. They see it as sport. They see it as a chance. It's almost as if they hear that if the suspect is black, they know they can go in guns blazing. It's the same idea that made an off-duty cop and his son drive down on a black man like it was hunting season. Like it really shows. And so if we can make them go through so much before they can even grab a gun, you know, and I don't want to hear any of this, like, well, what about this, and this. Someone just showed a survey, only 48 cops were killed last year. And half of those were accidents that happened on themselves. So that means 20 something cops are actually at risk out of the hundreds of thousands of police. So with those odds, I think you shouldn't have access to an M16. Shouldn't have access. And if you're this cavalier about calling in the National Guard and other agencies, then what the fuck do you need guns for? If you're gonna call in over some peaceful protesters, you don't need guns. If you can't even,
because it's not what it's about. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just about saying, oh, well, we have people starting to band together across, you know, class and racial lines to actually identify a common thread, and it's us. So we're gonna have to put that down because we need our money.
Oh yeah,
and we need to keep expanding our police force. I mean, especially like when you think about L.A., the crime rate, and New York. I think crime rate's gone down by 75% since 1992.
Yeah,
why do we need more cops? Like, I don't even understand the logic path of that. Yeah. There's less crime, more cops, 75% less since 92.
But that's not what they're telling themselves. Yeah. Like we talked on that, we talked earlier and on that Behind the Bastards about that David Grossman guy who goes around training them to think that their lives are like 8 times more in danger. There's this thing, this like cop speak that you hear, like, I even hear people like around me be like, well, I heard this from a cop. Like, cops love to act like they have this inside track to some information, and it's always fucking bullshit.
The people
it's
I know who are bullshit. I know two cops, they were shitty people in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't even fuck with them. I just remember like when Facebook was cracking and like that first couple years out of college, I'm like, oh shit, that dude's a cop. Okay, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a well-known fact that people would join the police force with complexes and they plan to use them to lash out on citizens, but they're not going to lash out on every citizen. They're going to lash out on black citizens who they feel can't clap
or
back.
Whoever their target is. It could just be women or Latinos, whatever. Yeah,
people of color in general. All kinds of And it's so obvious when 2 weeks ago we got to see the same quote unquote protest, but this time we got ARs are strapped around people and we're not met with the same level. We're not met.
Yeah,
there's no. The misinformation is so transparent and clear. We have videos of police trucks dropping off bricks. We have videos of people looting. When you pay attention to the video, they are not black. Yet you have people playing this video, reporters playing this video and saying Black Lives Matter when there isn't a black life on camera. It's wild. It's like the fix is in, but it's not working. And now they're scrambling, which is why, you know, these CNNs and all this stuff, they're not going to make it through it either, because you just see how quickly they lean to whichever side they feel like they lean to make the slant. It's just ridiculous.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And yeah, Miles, you brought this story forward that I hadn't read that, but I have read other stories like it that really underscore like that it seems like we could be on the precipice of just all out chaos, like
it's
virtual civil war.
We're on a knife's edge for sure.
Yeah.
And this story really, you know, so what happened was there's a multiracial family, and including like a couple, it was a 16-year-old daughter, the mother of the husband in this couple. And they were like in this town in, I believe it's Forks, Washington.
Yeah.
So what is that? Is that where Twilight's from?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, not important.
Might be where the green room is from also, though. The Pacific Northwest is
so they're
scary.
In Washington, and this was happening in Clallam County, and these people were shopping for camping equipment. They're going on a camping trip. Then suddenly when they come out of the store, they were, quote, accosted by 7 or 8 carloads of people in the grocery store parking lot. The people repeatedly asked if they were members of Antifa. And the way this outlet says, an amorphous militant anti-fascist movement has become a bugaboo for some on the right. The second part I agree with. I don't know about whatever. And amorphous as well. And then the family said they're just there to camp. And they were like trying to move their car around these people and go to the campsite. And then they said a couple cars were following them and they believed these people were armed following them. And when they got to the campsite, these people basically, that were camping, this family, they heard gunshots and chainsaws and they were like, okay, we got to get the fuck out of here. And they put their camping shit back together, tried to drive out. And these people had basically blocked the road by chopping down the trees to block their car in, to box them in. And then these like high school students came and like got them out and like moved the trees and helped escort them to the sheriff's office. But it's like, what the fuck? So this is what's happening is like people will see a multiracial family with children. And the conclusion is that's Antifa who's trying to kill us. And we need guns because Antifa is here in the form of this multiracial family. That's what the people's perception is. And when you look, the story goes further back to be like, why the fuck did these people, what in the world gave them the idea that Antifa was going to be there? So there's a guy in a town over who said, basically did a post that said, you know, it's going to go down here in Sequim, Washington. He said, you may want to show your face to make sure this is a peaceful demonstration and declare all lives matter. And then that basically got the whole area of few towns all riled up off of this guy's Facebook post, this guy who owns a gun store. And then his next posts were like these mea culpa videos where he was kind of being like, because nothing happened, like it was all bullshit. And he was saying that he had asked people to protect them from Antifa infiltrators based on, quote, intel he had received. And then this is something he said in the video, quote, I was told protesters were here. I was told Antifa's here and going to trash the town. I had all this intel. And then basically then goes back and he said, I need people. This is the guy who started the first place. Said, I need people to bring it down a notch, including me. I'm sorry. I got pretty jacked up about what's going on in our country right now. That guy did have the wherewithal to be like, whoa,
I know.
It's at least articulate.
I know. It's so funny. And I will, you know, as much as I hate to, I will give credit for credit's due because it's so hard nowadays to get people to admit fault. But it really is like, yeah, this is the shit that gets people killed. And I wish that there was someone near who can say that, where it's like, bro, this is getting people killed. And I think we do need to crack down on people doing that stuff. Like we need to, you know, like the same way you got Trump saying when people looting, shooting, like if we have cool, we know people are going to be so afraid to move on Trump. But at the very least, when people are posting videos, we need to be banning these accounts. We need law enforcement. I mean, not like they're going to ever do shit for us, but we need some type of someone to step in and do something, you know. And that's what's so funny is like when people are like, well, what are afraid of, like, law enforcement, and they're like, well, you know, who's going to take care of this, that, and there? Where's law enforcement when a woman is sexually assaulted? Where's law enforcement in these cases? Where's law enforcement when people are trying to report stalkers and online bullying, which leads to that same person murdering them? They're never acting on it. So that's why it's like, they're not out here trying to put their life at risk. They out here trying to have a license to kill. Which is why we need to dismantle police Bill of Rights. we need to get rid of that. If you kill someone, if like, how the hell is it that if a doctor kills you or injures you trying to save your life, we can sue the shit out of them? But when someone is actively making an attempt on their life off of a bad judgment call, they get to walk free. Right. That on paper, just the map don't make sense.
Yeah, that's why I think more people can figure that out. And I think this story also underlines just how important it is for people who have these kinds of like the capabilities to take life, that they can actually see like what is actually going on. Because these people are just hopped up on a narrative of like Fox News and just saying Antifa is going to here to run our town out, and that's it. And everyone's prescribed, that's the same thinking everyone's on. And because everyone's looking at it one way, that's why black people are treated as a monolith, where all black people are a threat. And it's the same. The police are responding in the same way. That's why the police system, the system of policing as it is now, does not work. And that's why a lot of people are like, we need more social workers. You know, a social worker can look at a black or brown kid in like in an inner city area and say, I understand why this kid is frustrated. I understand why they're actually in the streets, because there's so little opportunity here that this is just the logical next step for them trying to survive. And then, but the police come and go, this kid's a fucking, oh shit, they're trying to fucking get me. Ah, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have to begin seeing things a little bit more clearly too, because it just, we're jumping to conclusions all like left and right.
And yeah, just to the point about Facebook being used to, like, Facebook has been, we've talked before on this show about Facebook being used to cause genocide against minority groups in other countries. And more and more, like, as our, you know, institutions break down, like, that is what's to separate us from those countries. There's not, we don't have the military leadership now. The commander in chief is not going to stop it. In fact, he's going to encourage it. Like, what is, Facebook is not going to stop it. And it's a very, very dangerous tool that, you know, like you said, I really feel like the country's on knife's edge right now.
Yeah. I mean, that was just an image of someone, like, I think the scarier ones aren't even the images coming from these major towns. The scarier ones to me are these images in the small town where you have these smaller group of protesters just trying to show solidarity. And there's one of someone just walking down like a neighborhood, and there was just a group of these, you know, army cosplayers with guns right there. And then as you walk down, and then you see the cops sitting there fine. It was like, you ain't gonna go and tell these people like, hey, we're here, we don't need you to have your guns. Like, that's the stuff where I'm like,
Second Amendment, man.
It's like, no. And it's so funny. Yeah, they say in Second Amendment, National Guard coming in and they quiet as hell. And it really just.
There's that meme of like the Shiba dog that goes around on the internet. Brolic as fuck last week, had the fucking tack vest on, an AR-15. It's like, tell me I'm on lockdown.
Yeah.
And then like the next one, little puppy with like the MAGA hat.
It's like they're clowns to me now. They're like truly, truly, truly clowns to me, because you really do see all that like chest puffing of like, you can't tell us to stay inside. And then within a week, like not even, it ain't even been that long, within a week, walking around telling people, talking about some, well, you should have obeyed curfew.
Should have listened to the oppressive military police.
What the fuck are you talking about? Weren't you just outside?
That's because freedom, the freedom is not, that word is not used the same way for those people.
What it is, and what's so wild to me, is it's so very clear that it is a group of people that believe, oh, laws don't apply. These rules and laws aren't for me. They're for them. They're for the black people. They're for the people of color. But for me, a white person, these laws aren't for me. I can do what I want. This is my country. I have freedom.
Yeah. Oh, that's for them.
And at that point, when you can't even catch yourself, and really, I want to be like, oh, it really is like these dorks don't even know what they're saying. You know, it's just like this tweet I saw of a Facebook post where someone was like, all jobs matter to someone's blue life matter point. And they're like, well, all jobs aren't under attack right now. So why would you? And it's like, y'all are so, y'all just really are that dense. And yeah. it comes from a thing that I brought up before, where it's like a lot of this inherent racism is also coming from a place of selfishness. You just refuse to see outside of yourself. You're seeing what's affecting you because you can't feel the effects of racism. It just doesn't exist to you. Because yet a lot of these people, hella Christian, but they need to be able to see and feel the racism in order to believe it's there. And it's not until it's someone they know, and it's not until it's someone they see, and it's not until someone or close to them gets hurt that they get to, you know, see that side. It's the same way when a lot of women were like, this is how old I was when I first was sexually assaulted, or this is how old I was when I first was sexually harassed. And you had a lot of dudes being like, oh, this is serious then, even though it's some shit that they've been talking about all the time. You know, it's the lack of empathy that is so apparent, I think, right now, that is kind of the most disheartening thing. It's like some of y'all, because there's so many times you just watch a Twitter conversation play out and then someone's like, oh, I get it. And it's like, it's just because you refuse to have empathy. You saw another people and you had to make up excuses. And also, a lot of these people are inherently afraid of conflict. But when you're a person of color and you are born, your life is conflict. That's all you know. But when you have a privilege of avoiding conflict, you don't want racism to be real. You don't want to address these things. You don't want to live in this world where things are bad for some people. You don't want to live in the existence that maybe you have it better than others, because you have the privilege of not knowing conflict. Whereas as soon as you walk about this earth as a person of color, you are in conflict. As soon as I walk in a room and based on the people, based on the way the people in the room are looking at me, I know whether I'm wanted there or not. Conflict. Mm-hmm. If I go into a store, if I go into a restaurant, someone looks at me, my service, based on how I look, is there. Conflict. If I want a loan, I walk into a bank just based on how I dress. Conflict. The fact that I got to cut my hair if I want to get a certain job. Conflict. All my life is conflict. I can't do shit without having to worry about how I'm perceived by other people. That's conflict. But if you go about your life where you never have to think that, and then for once you have to worry about that, oh yeah, you're going to avoid that shit like the plague. You're going to avoid that shit like COVID-19 if you're not a dumbass.
Well, but they are, so.
Unfortunately. Yeah, just kind of going back to the original story about the truly terrifying, like, right-wing people, 8 cars full, and then cutting down trees to, like, trap the people in, which is something I saw with people in Maine with something around COVID-19 and, like, right-wing people being, like, you know, trapping people in by cutting down trees. Anyways, there just seems to be a concerted thing happening with right-wing people doing violence, the backlash to the uprising being horrifyingly violent from the police, and the mainstream media just actively ignoring it. I was watching the local news. A Newport Beach protest, like one of those small ones, 50 people, a dude drove through a crowd of protesters trying to hit them. And it was not an accident, but they pulled a toddler out of the way at the very last second. It was like, it's on video of this dude. And then they were like, oh, he must've been drunk or an accident. And then he was like, no, I was trying to kill them because they're, you know, challenging my white supremacy, essentially. Just a 50-something, you know, white dude in a Mini Cooper. There's that video of, you were talking about how high school students had to come in and, like, help that family out. Those high school students, like, trying to put up, you know, Black Lives Matter signs in Maryland. And that guy, like, looks like he's, like, in his 50s or 60s and, like, wearing that, like, midlife crisis biking gear.
Oh, just Lance attacking Armstrong,
them. Yeah. Just attacking them with his bicycle and being like, give me the tape. Like the literal tape they were taping things up with, and like they're children. And he's like going after them. It's truly terrifying. And people it seems like they are actively weaponizing the white supremacy of the mainstream media, because they know that the mainstream media doesn't give a fuck when they commit crimes, or at least it's not a viral sensation on the mainstream media. So we need, like, social media to publicize it.
Yeah, it's true. And, like, I think even, you know, the other thing I'm seeing too is I saw a video of this woman, I think in Newport or Huntington Beach in Orange County. she was tearing down a George Floyd memorial because she said this was a setup by George Soros and Antifa. And that's straight up QAnon talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing I'm seeing is like this, some of these people, they have looks in their eyes that isn't just like, I'm a nasty racist. I was actually kind of, my breath was taken because I've seen plenty of racist white women mixtapes before, but this was particularly like, she really looked, she believed that like Antifa and George Soros are trying to take her life and her business, and that these are all distractions. And like people, she got doxxed, and I saw like her Instagram page. She's like, ask me. It's like, I'm hashtag unemployed because of the hashtag plandemic and all this other stuff. And you're like, I see. Mm-hmm. Like there's a whole other way that people, again, such a brilliant way to avoid the actual conversation about capitalism and white supremacy. Just go to QAnon, and the reason you don't have your job is because George Soros and Antifa planned the pandemic for you to lose your job, and that's why you're out of money.
The deadliest civil war in human history, I believe, is a Chinese civil war fought when a cult rose up and thought, like, was supporting somebody who claimed he was like Jesus's brother. And like, there's really like some cult vibes going on in this country right now. It's scary. Well,
and I think that's the thing is
real.
We say it like half flippantly that white supremacy is a death cult, but we're seeing it. You know what I mean? Like there are some people who look so scared by seeing even like other white people agree that Black Lives Matter, that they are starting to break because they're like, it didn't used to be like that. And you know what? I'm glad because it seems like a lot more white people felt it was okay to say that they're not racist. I don't know why that was a tough thing, but hey, it's the coolest take you could have right now. Just fuck racism.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
And we're back, and I watched The Help because it's trending in the Netflix top 10.
Oh my God.
People were tweeting. They were like, get the fucking Help out of the Netflix top 10. What are y'all doing? So right. it just hit Netflix a couple weeks ago. So that's partially like why it was on people's minds. But also, I mean, it was the number one movie for a couple days, like at the peak of the George Floyd protests. Like, that movies are never the number one thing on Netflix, but The Help was the number one thing. And so I watched it. I saw right away. I had seen it before when it first came out.
I saw it before when I said it was one of the best movies I'd ever seen.
It's a masterpiece. Right. No.
It really gets you thinking.
Yeah. So I saw it back when it came out. I remember like having a lot of these thoughts. But in this context, like, you see right away why this movie's so popular at the moment. It's entirely shot through with like the thesis that racism is something that bad people actively go out of their way to do, and there are the good white people and the bad white people, and Emma Stone is the white savior who comes and gives the black maids the courage they need to tell their story. But there's like, just racism is so easy to deal with. It's just right there, and it's like on the surface just being mean, and like there's nothing, you just have to like kind of punk this girl who's like a mean overt racist and everything is like good.
They snap out of
again.
It.
Yeah, basically.
I
mean,
I think I get it, man. It's if you're a person who's experiencing some level of white guilt and don't want to go too deep, The Help will do that. Because look, it's told again, it's from the perspective of white people. So great as the viewer, like, okay, good. Okay. I know.
Yeah.
I'm in the driver's seat as a narrator here. And it's about, oh, and look, we're doing all right. And I get that. I'm sure that feels good to a certain extent. But, like, it's just even funny when you even think about it. Like, just the title already conveys the perspective of this entire film.
Yeah. Yeah. It's supposed to be tongue-in-cheek, but if it was supposed to be tongue-in-cheek, it should have been told from the perspective of the quote, help. It should, like, movies don't need narrators. Like, novels need narrators. They need the person from who's there observing the story. Movies don't, unless it's a movie about a non-white person. Then white audiences just need a white person to, like, experience the story and, like, be there to observe it. It's wild. The movie's a fucking mess. Also, just, like, from a movie perspective, like, the, you know, acting, the writing is really bad, and they're good actors involved in it. It's like a good cast, but it's just a kind of a fucking mess. And it really is like one of those things where you're like, oh, racism is like movie steroids. It's like catnip for white Americans. This idea of like a white savior coming in and, you know, helping the black community and it also like others the racist South, like the racist past. It's like that everybody's smoking, but they like comment on that. People are playing bridge and like there's like a lot of like anachronistic stuff thrown in to be like, this is back then. See, we've come a long way. And yeah, it's just a couple bad ladies and like some racist like background, like cops and bus drivers and everybody else. Like, if you just treat the black people around you like human beings, then you are like, you've solved the problem. That's basically it. And also it's mostly done through feeding people poop. Go ahead.
All of these things help further the narrative of we've solved the problem.
Yes.
They never end with, and it continues to this day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, right. Like, that's what all those feel good movies that like black people are like, man, fuck, that's for white people to feel good about shit. That's not real. Because at the end, it like it resolves like even the conflicts with characters who you're like, oh, that person's racist. You're like, oh, great. Not racist anymore. Whew, I can breathe back to the world.
Well, yeah, I think it that's kind of the biggest issue with these movies is a lot of these racism movies make make racism a peer-to-peer issue and never an overarching structural systematic problem. And it seems like if you can convert one racist, then all of a sudden all the races are good.
There it is.
And it's like, no, I've converted a lot of races in my life. And,
right.
You know, and it's bigger than that. And I think even like when you have these like biopics of like Martin Luther King and MLK, there's this feeling that like they beat it at the end, you know. It's a very weird thing, even though the movie ends in their assassination, you know. I think that's the problem, is like in media it's hard to capture that. And I think the closest we've gotten to capture it even with some of its problems is Black Klansman, because it ends and it has that kind of like hokey, oh, we did it. And then it immediately shows you footage from not too long ago of Charleston and what went down. So we did this period piece that takes place in time, and you're like, it ends in a feel good way. And then Spike reminds you, oh no, this is still going on, by the way. All this shit we were fighting, and it's almost done beautifully, because all of the things they were saying and all the talking points throughout the movie are even shown within the clips. That's like, this is years ago, and they're still talking like this and still getting away with it.
Right. Well, that's the genius of a lot of the media too, is like it's meant to sort of extinguish the flames of outrage that burn within us sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, because if The Help ended with you being like, unfortunately, like, her family couldn't get on there. Like, if it ended with some real sober take, people would walk out of that movie and be like, oh my God, that's really fucked up.
Yeah,
right.
You know, but movies aren't meant to make people uncomfortable, so it would rather than be like, and it was all solved. Even though Martin Luther King was assassinated, you walk out of that movie being like, ha, maybe I do have a dream. It's like, well, I don't know if you really saw what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
This guy was going up against it and got snuffed out.
Yeah. So speaking wild. Of Spike this Lee, the when Do the Right Thing came out, the end when Mookie throws the trash can through the window, a lot of critics were like, "What? Why would he do that? Like, that doesn't make any sense. He didn't need to do that." And then and Spike Lee was like, "This is representative of something that is coming. There is an anger," and people were like, I think it's overrated. And then the LA riots happened like a month later.
Yeah.
And it was
that's why I was thinking, even though, you know, we are so burnt out of reboots, a Do the Right Thing reboot would hit right now. And I even got the title, I call it To the Right Thing.
But, or just go rewatch that movie. It's a fucking masterpiece.
I know. He's out here trying to remake movies anyway. So
yeah,
right.
So remake that. I'd love to see that, because it's bubbling up, and something's bubbling, and it's so funny because it's bubbling. As someone who was at a protest, as someone who was, you know, there. It seems like, you know, we're getting all like worked up, but in the end, it's like, no, it's definitely the other side trying to push it. They're trying to get there. They're trying to garner. And that's the experience of being, you know, Black. And that's why I tend to be a non-confrontational a lot, because like my dad always growing up, he was like, don't get angry. Don't get angry. Don't get angry. Because, you know, you have this sense of justice, especially if you grew up as a nerd. You have this like undue sense of justice. You think that, you know, you almost buy into the propaganda that, you know, bad people will be taken care of. And really, that's not the real world. And so I would just get angry. My dad's like, don't get angry, because people will make you angry and use it against you. People will make you angry. And that's what you're seeing right now, is the reason these cops are trying to hit us and all this is because they know, if we attack these cops, if we lash out, they're going to use it against us to try and justify it, which is why they had these. I'm just going to go out and say it. It's not tinfoil hat. It's a setup. They had actors in the protests who were starting shit. And you have people who were on the ground at these protests who were like, oh yeah, we weren't there. They literally planted a cop car in LA. They planted it. I don't give a fuck. It's not a conspiracy theory. everyone who was there. You can't try and plant something in Hollywood. We know set decoration. We know, you know. So when you have this like old ass cop car there with spray paint on it and ACAB, and then unfortunately this is still LA, so you know people are using it for a goddamn photo shoot. So then when those pictures come out, it looks like they did it, you know. But like it was set there, you know, and it's pathetic. And that's why it's like you resist the urge of trying to get that perfect shot for the gram, because these are all setups, the bricks being laid out, the, you know, and then of course you have opportunists. I could have told you months ago that if you had a protest happening on Fairfax, those dumbass kids were going to kick in the windows and try and snatch shit. They were kicking in windows and snatching shit at cool kids before this. You didn't think they were going to use this opportunity to loot those stores? Get out of here. And I remember the homie had the video out of his window. He lived on Fairfax, and everybody I saw running with a box was white. I saw not a single black person. I'm sure there was some, because when opportunity strikes, you still got
nothing. But either way, I mean, I think when we get bogged down in trying to even like parse through like who the good looters are and the bad looters are, we've completely taken the conversation away from what we're like, look, the looting's going to happen. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But there's too many broke people, and people are fed a diet of images that say you need to own this, this, and this to be happy or to look good. Yeah, and guess what? If you don't have any money and a fucking $700 box logo Supreme hoodie is out of your reach, you're damn right you're going to fucking break in there, because society told you you're not shit if you don't own that stuff. So guess what? They're taking from me. Well, now I'm taking from them.
Bet.
And that's how it works. And, exactly. And so that's why, like, the conversation always has to come back to, like, and this is the tool, another tool of like this whole white supremacy toolbook is like, we have to keep talking about this issue. And it's so clear. And like you're saying, like, especially for black people, like the whole thing is set up to provoke us, to prove that we are the animalistic depiction that they have painted of us. That's all. They just need that confirmation bias fulfilled. So everything's about provocation. And whether if it's me at a private high school and the dean taking me out of class to tell me my haircut's too weird or some shit like that, I'm trying to get, it's all to fucking get you to act a certain way and act out and then be like, yeah, see, and that's why I got to suspend them.
Mm-hmm.
It's all like, and it's all this game. And I think that's what, hopefully people can see that. Cause it's a lot of stuff out there that's just trying to further people's confirmation biases about what outrage looks like, what a person of color looks like, what people look like when they're mad, what mad people even look like. They're trying a lot, but it's clear, like in the most peaceful things I've seen, it's really heartening to see all these allies come out here, or even in like Boise, Idaho, all of these like, why, that, I don't expect that, but wow, okay, something's going on.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I think we're still trying to figure out, okay, there's some, what's going to be the best way to move this forward. And that's why on the show last week, we were kind of being like, these movements, like, you know, the eight can't wait stuff, that's too incremental for right now. I think these were things people have been asking for already for decades, that now it looks like we have enough public momentum that we can solve problems rather than doing these sort of band-aid fixes that help, you know, skirt the real issues, which are talking about real police brutality and white supremacy within that.
Straight up.
Miles, is Space Force good?
Yeah. And that's it. Cool. No. Okay. So Space Force. Yeah. Pivot to Space Force really quick. So I watched Space Force, the Greg Daniels, Steve Carell vehicle for space. And I didn't mind it. There was a lot of people who hated it. Look, I told people from the beginning, I'm in an airplane right now. Everything that is on my screen, I like. Because I'm in an airplane.
Yeah.
Straight. So even this, I was like, when Tawny came on, I said, look at her edges are fucking late.
They took care of her.
My first thought, and I was like, thank you, yes. Mm-hmm. And then I got taken out in a scene where like Ben Schwartz was like taken off by military goons for trying to tweet something. And like that brought me back into the real world.
Oh my gosh.
And there are moments that I felt really uncomfortable because like there are these sort of these characters that are representing like these branches of the military and how like flippant they talk about like invading countries or like blaming something for another thing. I'm like,
oh, I got one for you.
Yeah, there's like a tonal thing though too that I realized that might be fucking with me is that it bugs me when I see the old kind of humor of like just calling out that we know it's bad.
Yeah,
right.
And it ends there, and the joke's like, and we showed you we knew it's bad because that's the, that guy's stupid, and we laugh.
Yeah,
And that actually, I was like, I was starting to get really pissed, not even in the directly in the context of Space Force, but even other things I've watched throughout the week of like in comedy, especially of just leaving it as like, we're smart enough to see the problem rather than using the humor to fucking eviscerate the stupid idea and actually get somebody to really use humor to make your point. Because when you just go that, then everyone goes, oh yeah, that's right. Our military does just sort of like unilaterally invade other countries without any kind of support from other nations. Or yeah, we do like just seize private citizens because, you know, the government doesn't want a secret out. Ha ha ha.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I felt that is on Who Shot You. We've been going through the Fast and Furious franchise, and the way like there's a scene in the reboot Fast, well, quote unquote reboot, the I think that's the fourth movie, Fast and Furious, where he's trying to get, you know, this race with the guy, and he like the SWAT team raids his house and then plants drugs on him, and it's supposed to be like a got him,
gotcha.
Because and it was all because, and what was funny is just even taking a further step back, it was all because he lost the race and he clowned him and he was like, hey, nothing's gonna beat American Muscle. And luckily, you know, the character was white, so it's still like it was still, but it was like the cavalierness of like, yeah, we're just gonna to further our need to get in on this, we're gonna falsely accuse this person of drug dealings, plant the drugs, and then it even goes even further to me when they're like, you know, it's not going to stick, right? He was like, I don't need it to, because it's like, oh yeah. Then it made me realize, yeah, this character is white. He's going to get off on this, because if this was a black guy, it definitely would stick. You know, it's one of those things. And I couldn't get to the newer movies fast enough when they're no longer cops, you know, or working for so cops, and they're more so just secret agents, and it's in a fantasy
and another
world.
Global police.
They're just in a fantasy world. We don't have to work because
no
like,
longer tethered to anything resembling.
Yeah, because he's straight up. What makes it suck is like he's LAPD, you know. So like it's like, oh fuck.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think any of us are out here caping for LAPD to begin with. So it's like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing I'm realizing too is like, just to that tweet from Siobhan Thompson about how much media informs just how it's like, it really is the greatest marketing. It's the greatest marketing for our military. Like it's only a few movies where you're like, oh, that's an interesting look at how police like work and even how they see themselves like interacting with the thing. Cause it always basically helps set up the binary of cop good. Whoever cop is against is bad. It doesn't matter because the cop is always good. And I think that, people are starting that sort of perception of how the police operate is starting to erode again, because that old man, dude, they shoved that old man down in Buffalo
when
bleeding
you see
out
his
of his
head
ears.
Leaking, bro, that was too much.
Unbelievable.
So
the things that you're seeing.
In the cynic way I look at it is like, well, hopefully they'll understand now that it's a white guy, you know, like hopefully they'll understand how fucked up this is, because now you can't now you can look at that and see your Uncle Tommy. You know, like, because that's what it takes for some people. But yeah, no, it's wild. But you know me, I'm just a optimist to my core. So I'm liking the things like NYPD officers resigning left and right. You know, we did get the officers charged, but the battle isn't done. And I think that's what they're not ready for. They're like, we arrested him. I was like, cool, because y'all forgot about Breonna Taylor. You know, Ahmaud Arbery, the new person who was just killed by the NYPD. You know, it's gonna get lit. We ain't done.
Because a lot of people are out here. We're ready to read fucking Arya Stark's fucking list.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah,
go through gonna, there.
Because, I cannot like, wait till we this get this just, motherfucker Garcetti out. Your dad was a cop, bro. You ain't fooling nobody.
Fuck Gil too.
It's been a pleasure having you, man. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, see you?
Oh, you know me. It's Iffy Wadiway, Twitter and Instagram, IfDs on Twitch. You'll catch me in Super Punch Monday through Friday, live on Twitch at night. We've been raising money for the NAACP fund, the Legal Defense Fund. So it's going to be done by the time you hear this, so you can't. But on your own right, donate. I'm retweeting all types of, donations. I'm even for my horny dogs out here. I got a lot of homegirls who've been like, look, donate some money, show proof, and I'm going to show you the titties. So look, I know it's deep in the teen. So look, I'm even helping the simps out. Let's go.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media?
Oh, yeah, you know there is. This one is by the homie Yay for Zig. He did this tweet that cracked me the fuck up, which was it's a tweet of King Batch. I will say, coming from a good place, he's trying to, you know, get the word out, trying to be an ally. It's him, like, covered in the names of people who were killed by the cops. And he's like saying something. I still haven't watched the video because Zig's tweet took me out. He retweeted and he goes, "Look, his heart is in the right place, and we all dealing with this trauma in our own way. But every black person that sees this is still going to say this nigga look like a Chipotle bag, and I'm going to laugh every single time they do." And he does look like a Chipotle bag in this video where he has people's names written all over him. I'll put it in the chat so Miles can enjoy as well. But yeah, that's a good tweet. And Zig has been doing also good retweets and all that stuff, yeah, too.
Zig's the best. Miles, where can people find you and follow you?
Oh, my. Okay. My, yeah, he really. It's definitely Chipotle time with that. It's unfortunate. But yes, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray. Also, my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé, talking about 90 Day Fiancé. With Sophia Alexandra and her co-host of her other podcast, Private Parts Unknown, Courtney Kosak. She's, I think, another one of those comedians out there who's swapping donations for nudes. So we got, let's see, a tweet that I like. So this tweet is from @ChrisLoveBCT, and they write, "ACAB in Finnish is K-pop, and I can't stop thinking about it."
Wow. It's all coming together. That's like,
yeah, super- I mean... Those man, K-pop Twitter, even though y'all are some nasty doxing people who go way too far sometimes, it's just so weird. The like, there's that other tweet that was basically like the Avengers that have formed on the internet of like these people coming together, like to show up for George Floyd and everybody else. Like, it's really something else. Oh, actually, earlier I was talking about Ben and Jerry's because they basically posted, just said, "We must dismantle white supremacy." And if you go to their website, they have a very well, I'm like, bravo to you for actually like writing something like this. And then in like that tweet blew up. A lot of people were like, "Well, I'm never buying Ben and Jerry's." Yeah, good. Go ahead. So then there's @AngelTeeth, and I think it's @AngelTeeth, but it's spelled T333TH. It says, "Every other basic response, we stand with our black employees," smiley face emoji, "Ben and Jerry's. We gotta fucking smash white supremacy. Fuck the KKK and fuck you. Black Lives Matter. Our new flavor is called Fuck the Police. It's got blueberries."
It's got blueberries. Let's see. @Fart tweeted, "When someone has the word sarcasm or snark in the bio, they are less likely to understand actual jokes. This is one of the great mysteries of the computer." And Sujata Day tweeted, "Studio executive once told me her all-white staff was diverse because of their, quote, diversity of thought." And somebody retweeted that and said that Bill Simmons told them that. So,
oh,
shout out to Bill Simmons. Well done. You can find me on Twitter @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we going to ride into this week on today?
All of us are stuck on our own in a house in L.A., so we might as well do that track by Jungle, House in L.A. I love that song. It's like I was watching it again for some, like, I don't know, some video game company was doing a rendering of like their photorealistic like GTA 5 up-resing, and it had this song under it, and I was like, oh, this song actually goes. And it has great, the vocals on it are great because the falsetto of the lead singer I really love, plus like the really kind of slow methodical instrumental behind it. It's like I don't know, just it's like feel good, but also helps you feel a little bit, so you can kind of listen to this song and take it wherever you need to. So why don't you?
All right, we are going to ride out on that. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to you then. Bye.
Later.
gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.